Today's shiur is Masechet Yevamos Daf Tzadik Ches. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Ches Amar Aleph at the end of the third drawing. Amar Rava, Hod Amar Rabbonin, Ein Av L'Mitzri. This the Chazal have taught us that there is no father by Akum, as we learned in the previous shiur. When we're concerned about Gerim, who are siblings, we're concerned if they're siblings, if they're maternal siblings. We're not concerned if they're paternal siblings. Loitema, don't say the reason is mishum de shetufe bezima, because by the akum they are act immorally, the lo yedia, and therefore we can never be certain who an akum's father is. Av yedia, but if there'll be a situation where we will know for sure who this non-Jew's father is, chashinan, then we are concerned with who the father is. El afilo di yedia, even in a situation where we know for certain who the father is, and it must be the father. For example, as we learned about twins, or for example, if there were a man and woman incarcerated together, that the only people that could have had, she could have had relations with is him. So we know that any child born must have been that man's child. Even in the situation of yedia, where we know for sure that this is this Akum's father, Nami Loichashina, we're not concerned. Doshnei Achim Tumim. In the situation that we discussed at the end of the previous year, where we have twins, the Tipa Achishaya, the twins had to come from one father, V'nechelka L'shtayim, it's just that that sperm was divided into two, making two children instead of just one, but it has, twins by definition, have to have the same father. Still, v'ktani seifa, loichaltsa v'loi miyabim. We don't require chalitza or yibim between these two siblings. Because chalitza and yibim, as we've been learning, depends on paternal. And we don't consider these people paternal siblings, paternal brothers, because their father was a non-Jew. Shmamina, why? Because afgurei rachmona lazare. The Torah doesn't treat the zera, the paternity of a non-Jew as paternity. The ksib, because the pasuk says regarding the nachrim, besar chamarim besaram, their flesh is the flesh of donkeys, v'zirma susim zirmosam, and their sperm is the sperm of horses, and therefore it's not considered valid. A number of interesting points. The Rishonim point out already that even though our Gemara says that the paternity of an Akum is not considered anything really valid as far as Yichus, say the Rishonim that's not for all halachas. There are specific halachas where we find that the paternity of Akum is meaningful. For example, there are Dina Yerusha, we've discussed this previously, there are Dina Yerusha which are depending on who's the Akum's father. Rav Chanan says that it's interesting, he says, when an Akum, when a non-Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, there we do follow the paternity, even though it's an Akum. When it's a Jewish woman marrying a non-Jewish man, then his paternity is not considered relevant. The pasuk here, the Gemara quoted, "Besar chamorim besorim." The Mefarshim use this Gemara to teach us an interesting shaila halach lemaisa, and that is, what would be the halacha? May Jews deal in mummies? Could Jews sell mummies? If a Jew is an art collector and he collects artifacts, could he sell and buy mummies? We know that the halacha is that one may not have hano from a mace. Is that only from a mace that's a Yisrael, or even a mace that's an Akum? So the Paiskim, Ramosha says this, and other Paiskim say it. Since our Gemara says, Besar, Chamayrim, Besarim, so we don't consider their basar really to be the basar of a Jew. It's like an animal. Just like one could do business with Besar Chamayrim, one could do business with mummies, even of Akum. Continues the Gemara. Tashma. The Gemara is referring now back and it's important to review as we go further in today's shir, to something that we discussed at length at the end of yesterday's shir. At the end of yesterday's shir, we had a machloikis of Rav Ach and Rav Sheshes regarding if there are two brothers who are gerim and they converted and they're married, are they allowed to marry each other's brother's wife after the brother terminates the marriage? Normally, if not in the context of Yibum, one may not marry his brother's wife. What's going to be the halacha by gerim? And we saw a machloikus Rav Sheshes Rav Acha. Rav Sheshes said they may not. Rav Acha, there were two versions in what Rav Acha holds. According to one version, maternal brothers may not, paternal brothers may. And another version has Rav Acha even being makel by maternal brothers. So the Gemara now focuses, which is going to be a good part of what we're going to learn in today's Shir Mitzvah Hashem, on that machloikus. Toshma, the Amr Rabbi Yossi, Maisa ben Niftim Hager, there was a story with Niftim who was a ger, Shinasa Ashes Achiv Mi'imai, who married his maternal brother's wife, Obar Masa Lefne Chachamim, and this episode came to the Chachamim, Vamru Ein Ishes Lager. The Chachamim said, we're not going to consider the marriage of a ger. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? El ger de Kaddish, Hochanam Dlai Tafsba Kedushin, does the Chazal mean to say that if we have a person who's a ger and he marries a woman, the marriage is not considered valid? El Eimer, what he meant to say is, Ein Iser Eishes Achle Ger. The Iser that one has to marry his brother's wife doesn't apply by ger. My love, what is the episode that we're referring to? Isn't it the Nasav Achbet Kushu Ger? That we had Naftim, became a ger, and his brother, the Gemara doesn't mention his brother's name, Naftim became a ger, married a woman, and then terminated that marriage, and his brother married that Naftim's wife. So we see that maternal gerim or maternal brothers, one may marry the other one's wife. It says the Gemara Loi, the Nazbuk Shoev Kachavim, Naftim was never married to this woman as a Jew. He was married to this woman, they were goyim. They both became gerim, Naftim and his wife. Then, when after they became gerim, Naftim never resumed relations with her. He never got married to her. And the Gemara is teaching us that his brother is allowed to marry her. Loi, the Nasta Kshoev Kechavim. Ask the Gemara Kshoev Kechavim, might remember, if they were never married as Jews, so of course it's not considered this Naftim's brother's sister-in-law. Why do we need to say that he's allowed to marry her? Why not? Answers the Gemara. We should say, of course, halachically, there's certainly no reason to say he's not allowed to marry her. If Naftim was a non-Jew, and he's married to a non-Jewish woman, and they became gay together but didn't continue the marriage, why shouldn't his brother be allowed to marry her? But one would say that since the halacha is that if Naftim remained married to her after they became gerim, that then the halacha is that his brother is not allowed to marry her, so maybe we should make a gzeira even when he did not marry her after he became a Jew. One, we don't make such a gzeira. In fact, there's an interesting machloikis. Under what circumstances will Naftim's brother be allowed to marry his former wife that was married to him when they were non-Jews? The Ritva says it would only be permissible after Naftim dies. If Naftim is alive, even though he never lived with this woman as a Jew, it doesn't make a difference. It looks too much like his brother's marrying his sister-in-law. The Yamshel Shleimer disagrees. The Yamshel Shleimer says, since they were never married as Jews, it doesn't make a difference what happened prior to that. Toshma. So Gemara quotes another Braisa that attempts to bring a raya to our machloikis or of Achan of Sheshes. Doma ben Yassian. Kesholachti lekarchayom. I went to the islands. Matzasi garechet shenasa eishes ochem imai. I met a ger who met his paternal brother's wife. Amatiloi bini mihirshech. Who allowed you to marry her? Amali hare isha v'shiva banel. Here we have a story where a woman with seven sons, that such a situation happened to her, that she married her maternal brother-in-law, and they had seven children who are considered 100% acceptable. And he continued saying, Asaf Salza Yosher Bekiva Omar, Shnei Dvarim. On this bench, Rabbi Akiva sat and taught us two things. One was, Ger Noisa Aishas Achim Mi'imai, a maternal Ger. A Ger is allowed to marry his maternal brother's wife, V'omar, and he said another halacha, another drasha. The pasuk says, we all know the story of Yoina, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Yoina to tell the people of the city of Nineveh that they will be destroyed unless they do tshuva. Yoina knew that they're going to accept what he has to say. And he reckoned that this would be a terrible thing for Klal Yisrael, because Nineveh wasn't a city of Jews, and they would accept the Musar, and we, Klal Yisrael, don't. So Yoina, we know, ran and tried to run away on a ship until they threw him overboard, and he was swallowed by a fish. So the pasuk says, Vayhi dvar Hashem al Yoina sheinus leimer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yoina a second time. Taught them Rabbi Kiva, Shenas Dibri Mashchina, the Shechina spoke to him a second time, Shlishis Le Dibri Mashchina, but never again. Why? Because he did the wrong thing. He ran away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, go speak to Nineveh, and he ran away. The Mepharshim say, what's the Raya? Because usually, if the Pasuk would want to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't continuing to do something, the pasuk should say, V'hi dvar Hashem al Yoina oid. What does it say, Shenis? Dibar Hashem ito oid. I involve Dalad. What does it say, Shenis? To say two times, not more than two. The Mepharshim tried to understand what is the connection between the story of Yoina and what we're discussing about somebody, maternal brother, Geru marrying his maternal brother's wife. So the Aruch Haner learns it very simply. He says the basis of our Gemara, we discussed this at the previous year, is Gershon is Gai Kekotish and Eladami. When one becomes a Ger, he becomes a new person. What is Tshuva? Tshuva is also the same thing. As the Rambam discusses in Hilchos Tshuva, that person does Tshuva and he's not the same person that he was yesterday. So it's very appropriate to connect these two subjects. I saw the Sefer Iyun Yaakov takes it a little deeper, because he asks a very interesting question. He asks, what did Yoina do wrong? The reason Yoina ran away is because he was concerned about the covet of Klal Yisrael. So why is Hashem angry and doesn't speak to him again? So answers the Iyun Yaakov that there are two ways a person does tshuva. Sometimes a person does tshuva because he recognizes that he's supposed to do the right thing and he hasn't been doing the right thing until now. A second way a person does tshuva is because of fear. When he does it out of fear, he's afraid for punishment. That tshuva is a lot less. Not only is it a weaker tshuva, it's also a tshuva that may not last. It's not a sustainable situation, because that fear will dissipate and the tshuva will go away. Yoina was worried what's going to be about Nineveh doing tshuva and how will that reflect on Klal Yisrael. But Yoina should have learned the lesson, says the Iyun Yaakov. Says the Gemara says, "Mibnei ma ge'erim unan." Why do we find that ge'erim have problems? There should be nobody that should have a better life than a ger. Look at what a sacrifice a ger went through. He could have been a non-Jew, and he sacrificed everything to become a Jew. So why, the Gemara asks, do they have tzaris? Answers the Gemara, the way the Mepharshim explained the Gemara, because their gerus is not really sincere. Their gerus was only because they figured and they realized that they don't want to be on the bad side of the Jewish God, who's the real God. So Yoina should have recognized, even if Nineveh does tshuva, that tshuva is not going to be sincere. It's not going to be the gerus of the gerim. So even if you're worried about the covet of Klal Yisrael, you have nothing to worry about. That's the connection between gerus and the tshuva of Nineveh. But now getting back to our sugya, Ketanimius, what does it say here? Ger noisi eishes achiv mi'imai, that a ger is allowed to marry his maternal brother's wife, my love, and isn't the situation that's being referred to the nozba achiv kshuger, that his brother married her only after they were Jewish, and still the Brice is teaching us that a maternal brother can marry her? Says the Gemara, loy, the nozba kshuv kachavim, the same terrors that we said before, that they were only married as non-Jews, they were never married as Jews, that's when a maternal brother can marry his brother's wife. Not other situation. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Maila Memra. What's the having mean that they shouldn't be allowed to marry her? Answers the Gemara. Madu Taima Nigzar, Kshoiv Kachovim Atu Kishager, like we learned before, that since he's not allowed to marry her, if his brother was married to this woman after they became Gerim, so he should make a Gzer that even if he was only married to her prior to the Geris, he should not be allowed to marry her. Kamashman, that we don't make such a Gzer. So the obvious question is that as far as this piece of the Gemara, it's a repetition of the previous piece of Gemara. Same Kasha, same Teretz. So why does the Gemara say the same thing twice? So one answer is an answer that I saw, which is pretty relevant in a lot of places in Shas. The Gemara many times almost asks the same question one time after the other, because the Gemara is hoping that maybe there'll be another Teretz. Always looking for a better Teretz. And that was what the Gemara tried to do here, try to find a better Teretz, but wasn't successful. Another Teretz that I saw that the Mefarshim give is that there's a nuance of a difference between the two Brises. The previous Brisa used the word, and we look at the words of the previous Gemara, Ma'isva Neftim Hager Shenosa Eishes Ochiv. Nosa implies a B'di'evit situation. They already got married. And the question was, are they allowed to remain married, or they can remain or they have to terminate? If we look in this Brisa uses a lot stronger of a terminology. Here it says, Noisei L'chatchila, he's allowed to go marry. So that's the difference. The previous Gemara was only speaking to the evidence situation. How do we know that even l'chatchila, a brother, a maternal brother is allowed to marry, maternal brother Ger is allowed to marry his brother the Ger's wife, as long as they were never married as Jews? That's what this second Brisa is teaching us. So what we learned was that there was somebody who had a personal involvement. He was such a person, and he said that I married my maternal brother's wife, and we had children, and he was trusted. Ask the Gemara, can he be trusted to give this testimony? If a Talmud Chacham is saying a psak halacha, if he said it, he said in yeshiva where it wasn't relevant, we'll accept what he says. However, in laugh, ain't shemeloi, because we're concerned that he's only saying it because he has partiality, and therefore we shouldn't trust him. So this person, how do we trust him? He only said it because it affected his status, the status of him and his children. Anybody same answers the Gemara, Mayru Bahaya. One tariff that the Gemara gives is that this psak that he repeated was before the Shaila, was a Shaila that was asked. He was just mentioning it in the yeshiva. Vim by same another answer, Mishum de Kamare Ishu Shiva B'nei. The fact that he was able to prove that there was such a story where a woman got married and had seven children and nobody ever complained about the yichas of these children. He said another story. He speaks about the story of Yoinah. So the way Rash explains it, there's really two approaches in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi takes a very extreme approach. Rashi says, we're concerned that the person's not going to say the truth. When he has his own Negius, where he has his own issues at stake, we have to be concerned that he's not going to say the truth. But when he's saying something else, so the way Rashi explains it, is Nikarm Divrei Emes. Then we could see that he's saying the truth. Ritva has two problems with Rashi. One problem with Rashi is, we're talking about a Talmud Chacham. We're really going to accuse a Talmud Chacham of lying because he has personal stake? That's one problem the Ritva has. And the other problem Ritva says is, if we are indeed concerned that the person is not going to say the truth, so why, because he says another halacha, does it become better? So Ritva says we're never going to accuse a person of lying. The concern is, we're all human. And when a person has his own interest involved, he loses clarity of thought, and he loses clarity of what he says. And that is the concern. However, if we saw that he said another halacha, which he doesn't have any personal interest in, and he's saying it properly, it's a proof that this person didn't lose the proper perspective. And actually, this Gemara is very relevant also l'halach l'maisa. Because the Paiskim discuss a very fundamental shaila. If somebody is a rabbi, somebody is a rav, is he allowed to pass in a shaila for himself? You know, if a rav comes home at night and his wife has a question about something happened in the kitchen, if he passes that it's treif, he's not going to have supper. So he has his own interest, the mind. Is a Rav allowed to pass in shilas for himself? So the Paiskim seem to say the following. If the psak that he's saying is something that's black on white in a sefer, then we could trust him. Because he could always show you the maramakim. He could always show you where it says the psak. If it's a situation of lo yischazik isura, meaning that we don't know for sure that we don't have any chazaka that the food in question, giving the example that we gave, is not kosher. It's lo yischazik isura. We could also rely. But then there's an interesting chazanish. The chazanish says that a person who's given the authority, yes, smicha, whatever authority that he needs to have to paskin shilas, his authority is given to him for all circumstances, even for shilas that relate to him. He says the Torah speaks about one exception. A bribe you're not allowed to take. The Torah says bribes blind. Anything else, even if it relates to the person himself, if the person feels that he can remain honest and impartial, he's allowed to pass it even for himself. Continues the Gemara, going back to discuss about Yonah for a moment. Omamar, v'yi dvar Hashem al Yonah Shenis Leimer. Shenis Dibrim Shechina. The Shechina spoke to him a second time, shlishis lo dibrima, didn't speak to him ever again. Ask him, is that true? V'ksiv hu heishiv eskvil Yisrael melevay chamos ad yoyim harava. This refers to Yeravim ben Yoyish, who was a melech Yisrael. Kedvar Hashem asher dibir biyat avdoi yoyna ben mitah hanavi. So we see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him again. Amar vina al niske Ninvei kama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him again, but he never spoke to him again about Ninvei. Ninvei, you're disqualified, so to speak, from being a messenger for me for. Rav Nachman ben Yitzkama, hachi kama. Kedvar Hashem shediva biyad it avdei hanavi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never spoke to Yoina again, says Rav Nachman. But what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was using Yoina as an example. Shame shenepach Ninvei merol atayva, just like Ninvei turned itself around. Kachbi mei Yeravim ben Yavish nepach lam lisom merol atayva. Klaiso was in a very bad way at the time of Yeravim ben Yavish, not Yeravim ben Nevat. Things turned around on their behalf. Taisus asks, how can we say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to Yoina again? If we remember, the end of Sefer Yoina speaks about the Kikoyin the Yoina, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to him. So how can we say that he didn't speak to him again? So Taisa says that was all really one Nevuah. It was all in the same day. When the Gemara says he didn't speak to him again, it means into the future. Another Teretz, Taisa says that story about the Kikoyin the Yoina really doesn't reflect Ninveh. It really reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu was using that story as an example as a parable to Yoina, to recognize what he did right and wrong. And therefore, it has nothing to do with Ninveh. Another pshat that I saw is, what is the definition, Daruch Lener says this pshat, what is the definition of a Navi? The definition of a Navi is that he talks and sees and repeats what's going to be in the future. The story of the Kikoyin the Yoina is a Musar. It doesn't really say a Nevuah. When the Gemara here says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say any more Nevuah to Yoina, it means he didn't give him the ability to talk about what will be in the future. That doesn't mean he didn't speak to him and use him to learn messages. Toshma. So we're still discussing our Shaila, the Machloikis of Rav Acha and Rav Sheshes, about a Ger marrying her maternal brother's wife. Ger Shaya Leidasa B'Kedusha for Rosh Shalai B'Kedusha. That means his mother conceived him his mother conceived him before she was Megayer, and he was born after she was Megayer. Yesh l'shera av, aim, they're considered maternal relatives, vein l'shera aim, but they're not considered paternal relatives. Keitzat, nasa achos min aim, if he marries his sister, his maternal sister, yoitzi. Min av, his paternal sister, yikayim. So there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim here. Why? Rashi learns, very simple pshat. Rashi says that the maternal sister, the Gemara is referring to here, is a maternal sister. He has a sister who was born before his mother conceived him, before his mother was Mizgayer. That sister was Mizgayer. He, who was born later, they're certainly not related. Because his sister was before, only was born a non-Jew. But if we will allow these siblings to marry each other, he may think that he's allowed to marry even a sister that was born after he was born. But the sister that was born after he's born, they're Jewish brother and sister. So because of that, Chazal said don't get married. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim give different reasons. One reason given by some Rishonim is because if we will allow these two people to get married, then we may even allow any two brothers and sisters who are full-fledged Jews to get married, which is certainly usur. So for Gzeira, Chazal said don't get married. Another pshat that I saw is that even Goyim are not allowed to marry, maternal brother and sister are not allowed to marry each other. So Kadesh la Yomru, we shouldn't have a situation that Barnum with Kedusha Chamur le Kedusha Kala. When they were Goyim, they couldn't have gotten married. Now that they became Jewish, they could get married. So Chazal said, don't get married. We're going to learn what Rashi's pshat. Why Mina Av? Why if they're paternal siblings, may they marry? Because we go back to what we learned at the beginning of the Shir. As far as Chazal are concerned, as far as the Torah is concerned, there really is no paternity by Goy. Now we have a situation of a Chois Ho'av Mena'im. It's his father's maternal sister. So there's a little aspect of paternity here. There's a little aspect of maternity here. Who do we follow? The Loch is Yoitzi. Since there's this aspect of maternity, we have to not let them be married. Mena'av, if it's his father's paternal sister, so there's no aspect of maternity here, Yekayim, they can remain married. How about the following situation? Achois ha'ein, mino ein. His mother's maternal sister, yoitzi, because there's a lot of maternity here, and we say whatever there's an aspect of maternity, they have to separate. Mino af, if it's his mother's paternal sister, machloikish. Ramei oime yoitzi, they should terminate the marriage. V'chomam Yekayim, they could continue the marriage. Shai Ramei Oimer. Ramei said, Kol Erva, Shimishum Shere Eim. Wherever we have an Erva, where there's a maternal element to it, Yoitzi. Mishima Av, but if there's only paternal relations, we go back to what we said a moment ago, Yekayim, they could remain married. Continues the Braisa. Umutar, Be'eshes Ochiv Mi'imai. He's allowed to marry his maternal brother's wife, and so are the arayas and mutter. Who's the shah kol arayas? L'suyeh eishes ha'av. If his father was married to a woman, and then that marriage ends, they were not Jewish to start off with, obviously, he may marry that, his father's wife. Nosa isho bita. The way Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara is that if a man, as a non-Jewish man, married a non-Jewish mother and daughter, and Tosfos says it's not really only mother and daughter, it could be two sisters the same. But we'll stick to the example of the Gemara. So we have three individuals here. A non-Jewish male marrying a non-Jewish mother-daughter, and now all three of them convert together. Daloch is koinus achas or moitzi achas. He can't remain married to all three, to both of them. Again, even though la halacha, he should be allowed to be remarried to them, because gershon is gai kikotne shenoy ladami. So there's really no relations. Chazal say don't remarry. Choose one. Lechatchil la yichnos. We'll get back to it in a few moments. What does the brayso mean with lechatchil la yichnos? Meisa isha. Here again. We have a situation where he was married to a mother and a daughter. This is the way most Rishonim explain this. He was married to a mother and a daughter. We just said a moment ago, he can't remain married to the mother and daughter. So halacha is that he has to divorce one of them, or not marry one of them, after he's a ger. He chose the daughter, and now the daughter passes away. Even though normally the halacha is one is not allowed to marry his mother-in-law after his wife passes away, here, mutar b'chamoisai, he'd be allowed to marry his mother-in-law, the wife of his wife, the mother of his wife, the geyoris, and she too is a geyoris. Vika d'tani, os b'chamoisai, some say he may not marry her. And we'll explain this machlokes in a moment also. But getting back to what we've been discussing all day today, ketonimius, what does it say here? Mutter me'esh be'eshes achiv, that a ger is allowed to marry his maternal brother's wife. Clearly corroborating Rav Acha's position and a question on Rav Sheshes. Says the Gemara, the same teretz, the third time the Gemara gives this teretz in our shiur today. My love, the Nozba Achav Kishu Ger, that even though his brother was married to her after he became a Ger, and then when his brother terminates the marriage, the Bryce is still telling us that the paternal brother is allowed to marry his wife. Says the Gemara, Loi. We're referring to a situation that Nozba Kishuav Kechavim. They were never married as Jews. Ask the Gemara again, if they were never married as Jews, of course the maternal brother should be allowed to marry this woman, Maila Memra. Answers the Gemara, Ma de Taima Ligzuk Shoiv Kechavim, Atuk Shiger. Since if his maternal brother had lived with this woman after he was a Ger, the halach is that his maternal brother can never marry this woman. So he should maybe make a gzeira, even if they never lived in those circumstances, that he should not be allowed to take her. Kamash Malon, that as long as his brother never lived with this woman after he was Megayer, the maternal brother may marry her. The Gemara continues to analyze this price. Amamar nasi isha bita, if a man married a woman and a daughter, all of them gerim, the way we explained, kainas achas or moitzi achas. He can't remain married to both. Ask the Gemara, l'chatchila la'yichnas, and then we said that he's not allowed to take her as a wife l'chatchila. Ask the Gemara, the wording of the Braisa makes absolutely no sense. Hashta, if the Braisa is teaching us, afuke mapik, that he has to divorce her l'chatchila meboy, so of course he can't marry her. If a woman he's already married to, he has to divorce. Certainly he can't initially marry her. Says the Gemara Hasikai. He's going back to the beginning of the Braisa. Hachikomer. Hacht om Rabbanan Yekayim, the various examples that the Rabbanan said, we're allowed to remain married where there was no paternal relation. Only maternal relation, still, l'chatchila lo yichnis. Now Taisus asks one question. He asks more than one question. One question we're going to repeat now. Taisus asks, we're saying there's a difference between a maternal brother's wife, that then, he's allowed to marry, versus his mother-in-law and wife, that he could take her. Why is it different? Why are we more machma by mother-in-law and daughter, mother-daughter versus a sister-in-law? So Taisus answers, a sister-in-law is not a kedushin that he affected. It's a kedushin that his brother affected. On the other hand, a mother-in-law is a kedushin that came about through what he did. That's why we're more machmer, something that he initiated versus what his brother initiated. Along the same lines, the Rishonim say, one's mother-in-law is called his mother-in-law. A sister-in-law is not called his sister-in-law, it's called his brother's wife, and again, therefore, it's more of a relation. So we learned a machloikis in the Braisa. If he was, that as a ger, he cannot be married, even though they gave him, to mother-daughter. But why was the halacha, asked the Braisa, if he married the daughter, and the daughter passed away, may he marry his mother-in-law or not? So he learned the machlokes. Meis ishtoi mot b'chamoisoi. The Tanakhama says he's allowed to marry his mother-in-law. Vikad atani b'chos b'chamoisoi. Says, what is the machlokes based on? Says the Gemara, chodek Rav Shmuel v'chodek Rav Akiva. One opinion reflects the opinion of Yishmol, and one reflects the opinion of Akiva. Man dos krib Yishmol, doma chamoisel acha misa b'isur kaima. We learned the other day on Daftzadik Dalet, a machlokes krib Yishmol or Akiva, what is the status of a mother-in-law after the wife passes away? According to Yishmol, there's no difference if the wife is alive or not alive anymore. A mother-in-law has the exact same isser. And that's why Gabagir goes by Rabbanan. That's why we're stringent about the mother-in-law of a ger, or mandashari, the one that's lenient. He holds krib kiva, dama chamoise l'acha misa, a mother-in-law after his wife dies, kolosh le'isura, the isser is weaker, the gab ger, and that's why by ger le'goz by rabbonim. And as we quoted when we learned after tzadik dalid, there's machloikas rishonim, what does it mean, kolosh le'isura, that the isser gets weaker on a mother-in-law after one's wife passes away. The Rambam and Tosfos learn that the only difference between when the wife is alive versus when the wife is dead is that when the wife is alive, there's a chi of sreifa, if one has relations with his mother-in-law. After his wife dies, there's a lav akaris. The Rashba and the Rambam, the Rashba and the Ritva learn that there's an isser, but there's no karis. And actually, they use this Gemara as a proof to their position. The Gemara is saying that the isser of a mother-in-law is weaker after the wife dies. So if she is only an isser lav, I could understand why we shouldn't make a gzeira. But if according to Tosfos and the Rambam, there still is an isser karis, and Chanami, there's no isser sreifa, but there's an isser karis, we should still make a gzeira. Says the Mishnah. We have five women who were married and they had children. All five of them had boys. And these boys got married and all five of them had died without children. Rahman al-Tzlan. And we don't know, so they're all candidates for Yibam, but we don't know who are their brothers-in-law because we really don't know who their mother is. Chomish Nasim Shnis Avavla the same. Hegdila Taruvis, these five boys, who we really don't know who their mothers are, became adults. For Nasim Nasim, or Mason, they died. So the halach is Abba Choltsim L'Achas. So every one of these women is a candidate for Yibam, but not exactly sure from whom. So Abba Choltsim L'Achas, Fechim Yabim. So the first woman that's up for consideration, again, we look at our diagram here. If the first one gets chalitza, so let's say we have the five brothers, David, Aaron, Yitzchak, Yehuda, and Gershon in our diagram here. So first four brothers should do chalitza, and then the first brother could do Yibam. Why? Because we're manavshach. If he's the true Yavam, so he's doing Yibam. If he's not the true Yavam, so this woman had chalitza from somebody who she's supposed to have chalitza from. That's why this is acceptable. Then it goes to the next woman. Everyone the same. Again, let's read the words of the Mishnah. Abba chotzum achas v'yachad miyab ma'isoi. Hu v'shloisha, then this brother who did the Yibam could do chalitza with three other brothers v'achad miyabim. Nimtza, what will happen at the end is arba chotzois, Abba chalitzas, each woman will have one, four chalitzas, the yibam, and one yibam will call achas for achas. So Rishadim make a number of points. They start with this question. Why is our Mishnah making it so complicated that we have five? Very complicated story. So Rishadim answer, one answer is that there was such a story, and the Mishnah is reflecting a real story that happened. Another pshat that they give is, Tumah pshatim, is that after three of the women, after the woman received chalitza three times, so statistically she's probably fine. Because Raif is on her side, that she already had it. Teaches us the Mishnah, we don't follow Raif. And we have to deal with all possibilities. But another pshat, which really speaks to the meat of the sugya, to the heart of the sugya, is the Rishonim that ask, wouldn't it be better that one brother should be the one that's miyabim all the time? Why would that be better? Because by him doing yibim all the time, given that we know from early in the Masechta that yibim is preferable to chalitza, we know at least one woman got the proper yibim. The way the Gemara, the way the Mishnah tells us to do it, it could come out, actually statistically it probably comes out that way, that the woman, it's only 20% chance on every man that that's really her yavam. So every woman only had a 20% chance that she got the proper Yibam. So what Farshim want to say, indeed, if we only had four widows, that maybe would be a better solution. Three brothers should do Chalitza, and one brother should do Yibam, and we know for sure that at least this one, at least once, the mitzvah of Yibam was done properly. But we learned the Gemara earlier in our Masechta, the L'chatchila, a man should do Biyah with his wife once a month. Now, if he has five wives, he can't, there aren't enough weeks in the month if he's only going to do Biyah on Friday night. That's why we speak about a case of five wives, and that's why we don't give this option of one brother being the miyabim, and another, and all four always doing chalitza, because then we won't have the proper Biyah. The dafka, however, says the Gemara, as we explain, mechlitz v'chada yivumi. We should, every woman, we said, receives four chalitzas and one yibum. Says the Gemara, the order is very important. First she receives chalitza and then yibum. V'dafka mechlitz v'chada yivumi. Ava yivumi b'rei shaloi. Don't do yibum first. Why? Very simple reason. The kapaga yivam l'shuk. Maybe what's going to happen is that the person that's doing the yibum is not really the brother-in-law who's supposed to be doing it. And she's still a yivama that wasn't taken care of. As we've learned, a yivama who wasn't, her zika wasn't taken care of with zika, with chalitza, is not allowed to marry anyone else. So first do the chalitzas and then do the yibum. Hu v'shloishim. Mai hu v'shloishim chaltzim lachas. D'loi temeli yivnim echad l'kula. Don't say, as we just said, that one brother should be the miyabim, and then the other four should always do the chalitza. Kol chad v'chad miyabim chada. We prefer that every brother does one yibum and every other brother does four chalitzas. Dilma misram le deday. Now the Gemara gives another example, a little more complicated. Mitzosin achin or mitzosin she'ena achin. Here we have a situation that Reuven had two wives, Chana and Rachel. And Chana had a son, Yosef, from Reuven. And then Reuven divorced Chana. Then Boaz took Rachel as a wife, and Boaz already has a son from a different marriage called Moshe. And there are three other women, Esther, Rivka, and Sarah. Esther has a son, Yitzchak. Rivka has a son, Yehuda. Sarah has a son, Gershon. Chana has a son, and Chana has a son from Reuven, and they are paternal brothers with Yosef. And similarly, Rachel and Boaz have another son, and therefore he and Yosef are maternal brothers. They both have the same mother, Rachel. And now, these other three women who had Esther, Rivka, and Sarah have other children. Boy, Gimel, Dal, and Hay. And now these five children all get mixed up. So now Yosef, and this is the important factor here, has in this chulent, in these five brothers, two siblings. But we have to describe these siblings. One is a paternal brother, and one is a maternal brother. And we have to make a very important point. A paternal brother who dies without children, there's a mitzvah to marry his widow. A maternal brother is an aveira. It's eishes ach. So that's what happens here. Let's leave the Gemara. Mitzosin achen, or mitzosin she'en achen. So we have here, since they all got mixed up, we don't know who is a brother and who is not. Ha'achim cholzin v'she'en achim miyabim. What does that mean? Ma'ikam, Amar of Safar Hakam. Mitzosin achim na'af. Yosef is a paternal brother. U'mitzosin achim na'aim. And Yosef is a maternal brother. But we don't know to whom. So achim na'aim, the brother who's a maternal brother, that means Yosef, cholzin. He should only do chalitza. Because he may end up living with his maternal sister-in-law, which has never had to fall. V'achim and aim, ma'af, brothers gimel dalin and hay, that are no question, have no problem. V'achim and af, miyavim, that means Yitzchak, Yehud, and Gershon, there's no question on them. They could do yavim, they could do yivim. Now the Gemara gives us another example. Another example is the exact same case of Mitzosim Kohanim, Mitzosim Shoanim Kohanim. Some of these people are Kohanim, some of them are not Kohanim. But the Aloch is a Kohen is never allowed to live with a Chalutza. So the Kohanim Chaltzim, the Kohanim only can do Chalitza. Because every woman has to have Chalitza four times and even once. Maybe the Chalitza she had was a true Chalitza, which disqualifies her from the Kohen. And Shoanim Kohanim, Miyabim. Mitzosim Kohanim, let's say you have some brothers are Kohanim. So they can't do Yibum because they may be doing Yibum with a woman who already had Chalitza, and a Kohen may not marry a Chalutza. And then we have the concern on another one, like Yosef, who has, whose brother may only be a maternal brother. Elu v'elu, chotzev lemiyabim. As Rashi says, there's really no chiddush here. What we're learning here is, if there's ever a concern that the brother is a koyin, he can't do yibim, because there was a previous chalitza, which might have been a real chalitza, and a real chalitza disqualifies the woman from marrying a kayin, and wherever there's a concern that they're only maternal brothers, he can never do yibam, because a maternal brother can never live with his sister-in-law.